My name is Mandy Carr Johnson. My title is Senior Executive Director of the Science and Product Solutions Team at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And I work specifically in our beef safety research area, which is a contractor to the Beef Checkoff.
All right. We've seen a report in Consumer Reports magazine about samples of beef that they took. It appears they separated them in terms of how they were produced, conventional ground beef versus what they called sustainable ground beef, and found some pathogens, higher pathogens, I believe, in the conventionally raised. What value does this study have, and would you agree with its accuracy?
I think this study is one that, knowing Consumer Reports, I've often used them to buy a new cell phone or to buy a vacuum cleaner, but this is a report that I don't think provides consumers with information on how to safely purchase or consume ground beef. One of the key differences in our view and what Consumer Reports felt was sustainable is their definition. And the beef industry has done considerable amount of research on sustainability and has defined that with different parameters than Consumer Reports did. Our parameters are more like social responsibility, economic things versus conventional, grass-fed, or natural. Those are really just marketing terms and really are not about the sustainability of that product.
This is not the first time that Consumer Reports has come out with research that is negative for food production. When is the ag industry going to put itself in front of these reports? And how can you counter what Consumer Reports is doing and the impression that it leaves with consumers?
Well, the beef industry has been very proactive in several different ways related to beef safety, one of which is its commitment through the Beef Checkoff in funding beef safety research. The industry has invested over $35 million in beef safety research, and those results are evident by the interventions that are in place that help reduce the likelihood that a pathogenic bacteria would reach the final product. It's also evident by the work they're currently doing with researchers that are renowned in the area of antibiotic resistance and beef safety, looking at pre-harvest opportunities to improve the safety of ground beef. So I believe that the producers and the beef industry community, all the way from cow-calf to the packers, have been actively involved in improving beef safety. And I think the Consumer Report itself actually shows that work is paying off because they did not find bacteria that are commonly associated with human illness.
Oh, yes. I had read an article where you had mentioned that they did not find E. coli. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So even the Consumer Report itself showed that there was less than 1% of salmonella, which is known to be a foodborne pathogen, as well as they did not find any E. coli 0157 or other Shiga toxin-producing E. coli. And those are the ones most commonly associated with foodborne illness. And even in this study, they did not find levels of those organisms in the products they purchased. So I think it's another testament to that the efforts of the industry are very effective in reducing the bacteria that cause the majority of the foodborne illness in this country.
Okay, so tell us about those pathogens that they did find, and what were those, and what significance might that have?
So the bacteria that they reported on, many of those are normally found in the environment and in all food, and many of those don't cause illness at all. Some are actually beneficial bacteria, beneficial to digestion. One example is enterococci. That's even found in yogurt, and which is used commonly by people as a probiotic. So I think it is a bit confusing to the consumer to report high levels of bacteria when, in fact, some of the ones they're reporting on aren't typically the ones that cause people to become ill.
That's interesting. Can you spell the one that you just named that's also in yogurt?
Yes, ENTERO COCCI.
And pronounce
Enterococci.
Enterococci. Okay, got it.
Yes.
Okay, so what if anything is good out of this study from the beef industry's perspective?
Well, I believe the beef industry does agree with the point in the report that a key takeaway for consumers is to cook all ground beef, no matter what marketing claim was made on the product. All ground beef should be cooked to 160 degrees as recommended by USDA, and that be validated with a meat thermometer.
Very good. If you could talk a little bit more about the sustainability issue. You said that their parameters are different, and they did name, for example, organic and grass-fed. Talk to us about why you don't believe those parameters are valid in this kind of a study.
Sure. So I think this report could really mislead consumers to think organic or natural are either more sustainable or even safer, and that they could be cooked to a different temperature when that, in fact, is not correct. As far as what we think about sustainability, I'm not the technical expert on that topic. Our expert is actually on a plane right now, and I'd be happy to get back to you with some key points on that, but I can give you a few pieces of information really about that and what we see in those kinds of things. Again, those are marketing terms. And when you look at the data, the Beef Checkoff has conducted a life cycle assessment that really looks at the whole system from production through the final product. And it actually has found that we have improved the sustainability of all beef production in recent years. So I think that is something that is technically inaccurate about the study. And I could follow up with you for more details from our expert in that field.
I do recall, I also do a consumer education program for Brownfield, and I recall doing something in May about the USDA or the FDA saying they were going to step up their screening for E. coli. Is that something that has been done across the board, and might that be one of the reasons why these samples didn't show any?
That's a great question. Over the period of the last 20 years, the sampling protocol for E. coli and Salmonella has changed, and it has actually increased. Another key point is that the facilities that produce ground beef actually sample even more than the regulatory authorities do. And that is because of their commitment to ensure that they are producing safe ground beef to be put into commerce. So I believe that not only the efforts that the Beef Checkoff has done through research to find interventions and strategies to reduce bacteria, but also the industry's commitment to bee safety through implementing those strategies and also a higher sampling rate than is even required shows that these systems work and that we continually are committed to reducing any foodborne pathogen that would be in a product that would be distributed for consumer purchase.
And I want to ask a basic consumer question because I think this might be one that they would ask. Where does E. coli come from? Where does Salmonella come from? Is it because farmers aren't doing their job when they raise them? That's a consumer concern.
So E. coli and Salmonella, as well as other bacteria, are found in many locations. Some are inherent to the body, that's people's body, animals' body. Some are found in the environment. So bacteria are living organisms that are found in many different places. However, not all bacteria cause illness. So I think it's important that consumers understand that that's why we have safe handling practices, cooking instructions, but also that the industry is doing many steps before the product ever reaches the consumer to produce beef and other food products in the safest way possible and continuing to show that we have improved that safety by not only the industry sampling, but by what is monitored by USDA and reported publicly on their website.
Dr. Carr, is there more E. coli salmonella in the environment now than there used to be?
I think that's a great question. I don't know that I can answer if there's more those bacteria in the environment than before. They've always been around. We have examples of bacteria in the environment all the way back to when we had permafrost and the change of the environment from the Paleolithic era. So the bacteria have always been in the environment. Actually, what is related to food products, we actually have less related to bacteria in all types of food, including beef. We also have reductions in human illnesses. So I think that's an important part, that not only is the industry playing a significant role, but consumers can play a great role in the reduction of bacteria through proper handling, hand washing, and also proper cooking.
That's interesting, the point you made about fewer illnesses. Is that from CDC, the CDC information about foodborne illness?
Yes, it is. And CDC reports foodborne illness by bacterial species and by food product on a routine basis. And we see a decrease, particularly in E. coli 0157. The illness rate of that has met the CDC's 2010 goal, and they've set another goal for 2020. And we're continuing to reduce the illness rates attributed to all food products, including beef. So we continue to make those steps to provide safe food to the consumer.
That's interesting. But Shigatoxin, E. coli, is different from the one you just mentioned, right?
So Shigatoxin E. coli is a grouping of E. coli that produce a toxin that causes illness. Early in the 1990s, the one that was the target for the industry's reduction was E. coli 0157H7. In recent years, six additional strains have been added to that group that are considered adulterants and are then illegal to be in food production and pass through commerce. So those are a specific focus of pathogen reduction for the beef industry. However, all the steps that we take to reduce those, we also know are very effective on reducing other bacteria like salmonella and Staphylococcus aureus, others that may have been reported in this report.
Okay, so then would it be accurate for me to report that the CDC says all cases of foodborne illness are on the decline, and that the ones, all of those that you just mentioned, are in that sort of umbrella?
I'm not sure that you could say all cases of foodborne illness have declined, but you can say that the cases of foodborne illness attributed to E. coli, pathogenic E. coli, or Shigatoxin-producing E. coli, you can say that those have declined as documented by CDC.
Okay. And would that be over the past few years, or what are we looking at? How long have we seen this, you know, decline?
You can say that for over the last 10 years based on their data, and I'd be happy to look that up to see if you could say that was for a longer period of time.
That would be helpful.
I can look that up in their data.
Yeah,
sure.
That'd be great. You have been a tremendous resource, and I hope to be able to talk to you in the future because this fits our news programming as well as the consumer programming. So I didn't have any other questions. Was there anything else you wanted to add?
Okay. No, I appreciate your questions, and I think it's important for consumers to know that they play a significant role in the safety of their food products by proper handling and proper cooking, and that the industry, all the way from the producer raising the animals to the supplier at the retailer food service, has the commitment to increase the safety of beef and continually invest in ways to do that.